is daf is pei zayin. So we did the yesterday, the bottom of pei vav and bez is very long mishnah. And the mishnah was talking about the first line of the mishnah, just to say what that it was. That kasud la neder v'shua ein li alecha ein yachal ashbia. If he writes to his wife, the husband writes to his wife that I cannot obligate you to take a shua, so she's exempt from taking any shua. But if the husband dies and there's a yoresh, he could force her to take a shua. Or if the husband sells the rights, that other person could force her to take a shua. Or if she, again, only if these conditions are written in the document. If she dies and she's a yoresh, then the husband can force the yoresh to take a shua, unless he articulates in the document that if I die, my yoresh can't make a shua either. Or if you die, I can't make your yoresh take a shua. The only different circumstance of not forcing to take a shua. But the Gemara asks the obvious question, the first line of the Gemara, which is the last line of the Amud Beis, the Pei Vav Amud Beis, shua may avidase. What shua, what are we talking about that you're not taking a shua? Rashi just says, shua may avidase, eiz a shua stam, she'isha chayev es labayla. What shua that a woman would be chayev on, or the yorshev, or to the husband's inheritors, the katani dechilo patra mashbia, that when she doesn't get this exemption, she's forced to take a shua. Vechi patra ein mashbia. So, explains the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, going to pay Zayinam and Aleph now, al apachopia shenases b'chai baila. Referring to a woman who's apachopa, who was appointed to manage the estates, the properties, during the life of the husband. So, says the Rashi, top line, al apachopia potra b'ksivazos mishvos apachopas. That by the husband writing the document, again, she was overseeing his properties and he was alive, he wrote her a document, an exemption, I cannot make you make a shvua. Im yoshviha chanvanis, if she's going to oversee the store, let's say, aval, that, so again, regarding the apachopi, if she's overseeing the properties, or if she's in the grocery store, we said in yesterday's daf, he could at any given time make her take a shvua. Promise me you're not stealing any food from the grocery store. Promise me you're not putting any food from my properties in your pocket. But if he writes to her, you're going to be the apotropis, but here's your exemption. I cannot force you to take a shua. So she's completely free of making any shuas. He cannot force her to take this. But Rashi says the next line, which is important because of the next sheet in the Gemara, but Rashi says, aval in pugma ksuva, so if she's pogim her ksuva, which the Mishnah is going to tell us later on, which means if she collected part of her ksuva while she's alive, partially, then he could force her to take a shua. So to continue to Rashi, Rashi says, the Tanam Masnitz, the Mishnah tells us, HaPogemes Ksuvasa, Lo Tifra Ela B'Shua. If she wants to collect the rest of the Ksuva, she needs to take a shua that she only collected part of it. We'll have to get to the Mishnah, but if she, let's say her Ksuva was worth $200, and she really needed some extra money, so she asked for $100 of her Ksuva. So then later on, she wants to collect the final $100, she needs to take a shua that she only collected part of it, that she didn't collect the full amount yet. That's what it's referring to. So again, it says Rashi lo tifra elot b'shua lo niftera meosa shua ayde tanai zeh. So this tanai that the husband writes, or you're exempt from shuas, it only works for a shua of a chenvanis or a pachapia, but does not work for a shua that she wants to collect the remainder of her ksuba. Dechi pater lai mishua, says Rashi, dekarame ahave Allah. She's only exempt from a shua that's really incumbent upon her. Aval shua dehi garma lenafsha, a shua that she caused herself lo patula. Because she collected the ksuba partially, she forced that upon herself. We'll see the mishnah later on. So therefore, she's not exempt from such a shvua. It's only a shvua that the husband initiates could the husband exempt her from, but not a shvua that she herself causes to happen.
I didn't understand.
The case of the woman is a, if she's a apachapis or a chanvanis of the husband's property, at any given time, he could make a shvua, make her take a shvua, promise me you never took any money, took any food from the grocery store. As yesterday, exactly. But if he writes her, but he could also write her, you know what, I know it's uncomfortable for you, I'm going to write you an exemption, that I cannot take your shvua, you'll be the apachapis, and you're free of any shvuas. That's what the Mishnah at the end of yesterday's daf was speaking about.
Okay.
In contrast to a situation, which we didn't see this yet, but Rashi's alluding to it, let's say a scenario where she collected part of her ksuba.
Why?
I'm not sure why, we'll have to get to the Mishnah though. But in such a case, for whatever reason, she collected part of the ksuba, and now she wants to collect the rest of the ksuba, she put herself at a disadvantage, because no one ever collects part of the ksuba.
So why she need to swear that she took only part?
We don't fully trust her, so we make her take a shvua.
But she's the one to take, not giving.
She wants to take the rest of the ksuba now. So we have to say, make a shvua that when you collected the ksuba a few months ago, you only collected half of it, you didn't collect the full amount. Promise us, so you're not double dipping here. So we'll see why that is in a second, in the Mishnah. But the conceptually what's going on, she caused her to make that shua. She put herself in that situation of having to take a shua, so that she doesn't get exempt from. That's a conceptual point, but we'll get the details hopefully later in the end of the Yamud. Now, back to the Gemara. According to Rav Nachman, Amaraba Baravua al Hapogemus Ksuvasa, even on Pogebis Ksubasa, that she herself has caused herself Gesundheit, that she herself has caused herself in such a situation to take a Shavua, even that type of Shavua she's exempt from, based on this document that the husband wrote her. And Rashi adds in, and a Kol Shekein Mishavuas Apachapya, and certainly then she'd be exempt from taking the Shavua that her husband would initiate on her. So said the Gemara now, Azal Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai went along and Amrish the Shmaisa Kami Rav Ashi. He said this sugya, this halacha, over to Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi understood this. I'm not sure who he's referring, talking right now. I think it's Rav Ashi. Let's see. Rav Nachman, I guess, continues to explain as follows. So he says to Rav Ashi, Bishma, I understand Laman Damar Ala Pogemis Ksuvasa Damaska Daita Dilma Mitzdarchle Zuzav Eshakun Miksuvasa. So I understand the one who says Pogemis Ksuvasa, why that person would be exempt from a Ksuva, from a Shavua. Because she could have maska daita, she could have had a havamina when she got married initially, that Dilma, perhaps Mistarcha Lezuza, she might have come to a point where she needs money. So she'll take out a mortgage, if you will, from the ksuba, take out some money from her ksuba, b'sha kilna miksubasa, take from her ksuba, v'amrle, but he says, kasiv li, dilo mishabas li, but if I do take money out from, please write me an exemption letter. So that's something she could have anticipated writing when they got married. Exempt me from many shuas. Elman damar ala patropia, shenasas b'chai baila. But if she says that this ksuba, this document that they made, this agreement when they got married, I'm exempt from any shuas, how could she ever have thought that she would become the apotropos of her husband's property? Ihu mihava yada, would she know, demosiv la apotropia, that her husband was going to appoint her as the apotropa? Could she have really thought that? I'm not sure it's unlikely, but it's something that you don't think of. The amr lay kas of li, the lo mishabas li, that she's going to write me a document to exempt me from any shavuos that you may make in the case where you're going to appoint me the apachapya. It's such an unlikely circumstance. How could she ever have thought that? So it seems that pashas is that when you have this document exempting her from shavuos, it was something that she would have thought of, namely that she might need money from the ksuba down the line. So that was the kasha that Rav Mordechai had when he presented this shita over to Rav Ashi.
But it's really on both of them. We said according to Rav Nachman Rabbi Baravua that it's, you say it on Pogemis Ksuvasa, certainly you say it on Shua Apotropia.
This is a great question. So maybe you have to say the way he understood it was mutually exclusive, perhaps? Very good question.
Unless it's the pshat that once he has an alternative thing to say it on, right? Even though it's true, it would also apply.
You call on everything else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the response back? What does Rashi say back? So Amrle Asun Ahamas Nisalu. You brought a certain brisa. Anan Ahamas Nisalu. I had a different understanding, a different mesorah of what was said. What was said? Different in halacha entirely. Halcha Mikever Baila, the end of yesterday's Mishnah. She went off to bury her husband and the base Ba'avia. She goes back to her father's house where she grew up. Oh, shechaz the base chamur or chamah, or she perhaps even goes back to her father-in-law's house. So nas is apachapya, and she was not appointed apachapa, I guess, ever in her life or at that moment. Ein ha yorshin mashbinosa, the yorshin cannot make her take a shvua. In which circumstance?
Ktubata.
In terms of her ksuba, okay, they can't force her to take a shvua by the ksuba. The im nas apachapya yorshin mashbinosa, if she does become an apachapa, then the Yorshin can make her take a shvu on any, making sure she's not taking any of the food. Al ha'asid lava on any future dealings. V'ein mashbinosa al she'avar. But on any past dealings, they cannot make her take a shvu on what was done. So asks Gemara, she'avar my avidasa. On that which happened already, what exactly would be, what took place? So Rashi explains right around where we are in the Gemara. She'avar my avidasa, kilmer an masai karoi l'she'avar. What's considered in the past? How do you define the past? That when do we consider it not the Yisomim's property as of yet, and they cannot force a Shavua? When is that? How far back are we going? Certainly before the death of the husband, that's considered Avar. That was considered certainly not in the possession of Yisomim. They certainly can't go so far back to make a Shavua. What about the time period after death, before Kavur? So how far back are we willing to go? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ala Pachapa, so this statement right now, right?
That was the question. How much back? What do you mean?
I mean, what we say that she's now, she's Apachapya, the Yisomim can make her take a Shavua
on the future.
Yeah. But not in the past. So what's considered the past?
What does it matter what considered the past? If the past is from now, back.
No, so we're saying it's not so clear what the past is. We're going to see machlokas in a second.
But the husband is dying anyway.
So right, so but certainly before death, so they have no right to make a shua, and beg or take a shua, no, because... No. What? Yisomim had no rights.
Yitomim?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had no rights to make or take a shua. After death, now it's already in the Yisomim's property, so maybe after death would be... But it's already in history. Now they walk back from the Kavura. So do you go back to death, between death and Kavura?
Something happened between death and Kavura.
Right, who knows? Right, okay, who knows?
She emptied the store. She emptied the store and put it back in her father's house or something.
So on this, they bring the position of Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, which is what the initial Gemara had brought, his statement on a different halacha. I mean, Rav Nachman, and who was it? Rav Mordechai had this whole shiloh when he heard the statement of Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, regarding the previous sugya. Rav Ashi said, there's no problem because you were misquoting it. Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav was referring to the case we just brought. And he says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, al apotropia shenasas apachai baal. Talking about an apotropos that was appointed by the husband when the husband was already alive. But if she was appointed, I think he's referring to appointed, during the time period, I'm not sure who appointed her, but if she was, or any dealings that took place between Mis and Kavura, so they could certainly make her take a shvua. And Rashi explains the svar being, you see, Rashi aval bein misa lekvura, kvar ramu nichse kama yasme. The moment of death, the property already now falls in front of the yisomim, v'ein tanai shalom mo behen. The tanai of the husband that gave her this free pass of no shvuas doesn't work anymore, shlo aide nichase ba'ala. Because now the yisomim's property, they could force her to take a shvua. But Rav Masna amar afilu bein misa lekvura lo mashmin le. No. Even during this period, any dealings that may have taken place, she cleared out the store, like Harry said, suggested that between Mis and Kavura, even then, they have no right to make her take a shvua. But why not? The husband's dead. It's someone's property. The Yorshin are allowed to make her make a shvua. Explained Rav Masna, the Amri, Nahardai, they would say, Nahardai, Lekarga ulmizonai ulkvura mazavninan blo achrazasa. So these three things. What's Lekarga? Rashi says, Lefroa lemelach kesef gulgulasa diasme. To pay to the king the taxes, exactly. And limizone, Rashi says, is mazon ha'isha v'abanim v'yisomim, banos v'yisomim, to pay the wife, the widow, the daughters, the yisomim, the orphans, to pay the mazonos. And l'kvura, says Rashi, l'kvura sameh, so yisomim, to bury for the mace, or even bury yisomim, maybe. The lach is, mizavninan, says Rashi, nichse diyasim b'lachazarte. You could sell the property for the money that you need without making any hachraz, without making any announcement. Shein shalos matan ladavar. We can't wait. These are very urgent matters. The mace needs to be buried. The children need to be fed. And the king needs to be paid. So since it's very urgent, and how do we know it's urgent? Because you sell the properties without making any announcements at all to any of the yisomim or anybody else. So we see the urgency here. So to hear also, it was an urgent matter to take care of all the kavura, and there's no right for the yisomim to make her take a shvua during the period of misa and kavura. Again, even though theoretically, fundamentally, they should have rights to make her make a shvua, but because of the urgency, we don't make her. Okay, the Gemara says now, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yechia, Delo Nadar. So the Gemara now is going to analyze the nature, or the text of the shvua that was written. The document that was written, rather, between the husband and the wife. Dilo nadar udilo shvua, who, ein yachol hashbia. So he cannot make her make a shvua or nether, aval yorshin mashbinosa. But the yorshin may make her take a shvua. Naki nether, naki shvua. So if you use a lashon, though, if you're clean of a nether, you're clean of a shvua, that implies bein hu bein yorshin, ein mashbinosa. That sounds like you're completely clean, free, clean from any shuas, even the yorshin. So hachi kamar. So the Gemara is understanding this lashon. Hachi kamar la. This is what he says. The husband says there. Man nakis mishuasa. You're clean. You're completely free of any shuas. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar Rabbi Yechia delo nader lo shua hu ein yachal hashbia. Aval yorshin mashminosa. That if he says the shua I cannot make you take, the implication is, but the yorshin can make you take a shua. Naki neder, naki shvua, bein hu, bein yorshin mashbinosa. So all the way around, if you use lashon naki, actually, he and the yorshin may make her take a shvua, according to Yosef's understanding. Halchi kamala, this is what he says to her. Naki nafsheich b'shvuasa. You will exonerate yourself through taking a shvua. Not that you're clean from taking a shvuah, but you will be clean once you take a shvuah. That's Rabbi Yosef's understanding of this language of Naki. So Shalach Rabbi Zakkai Lamar Ukva. He sent a message to Rabbi Mar Ukva. Bein de lo shvuah, bein de Naki de shvuah, bein de lo nader, bein de Naki nader. B'nichse hu einu yachal lashpir aval yorshim mashminosa. B'nichse. Me mashminosa, I think. So he says all the way around. Regardless whether you use Dila, whether you use Dila Naki, the husband is pater from making her take a shvuah, or she's pater from getting a shvuah from her husband, but the Yershin can make her take a shvuah, whether or not the Lashon Naki or Dilo is being used. Okay, now I think this Benichse is the next part of the statement. Let's see.
Right, that's an important part. Okay,
Benichse.
My possession.
Benichse Ilan. If I say Benichse Ilan, that's another.
Well, he says Benichse, that's my possessions.
Benichse Ela. Minichse Elo, I see.
Minichse then, who ain't no yochel ashbia? If it's my possessions, then there's no shvua. Aval.
I'm sure I get a line here. Minichsei. Okay, let me read that again. Shalach Rabbi Zakkai lemar ukva bein delo shvua bein denaki shvua bein delo neder bein denaki neder minichsei who ain't yochel ashbia for yorshim ashbinosa. But if he says minichse elain these nichasim. Then ben hu ben yershev ein mashminosav. He's talking about the objects, the chepsa of the property. Then she's exempt from anyone forcing her to take a shua on those properties.
But how the yoshim know that he said such a thing?
It's, she has a document. They wrote the custom. The mission said custom of law. He writes her. So he has. She has the. This is my. Then the Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishim Abashal ben Ima Miriam. Bein de lo shua, bein de naki shua, bein de lo nader, bein de naki nader, bein b'nichsai, I feel like I'm reading a suba here. Bein b'nichsai, bein b'nichsai ilun, bein hu, bein yarshav, ein mashminoso. Regardless of what language is being used, any of these are pater, exempt her entirely from a shua. Aval, right, the Yisomer cannot make her take a shua. Aval ma esa, but what am I to do? He thinks that's what the answer is. Sharei amru chachamim habal lipara b'nichsai Yisomim lo yipara el b'shua. But there's another klal, another thing to consider, that the chacham in general say, when you collect from Yisomim, you always have to take a shuvah. So, therefore she needs to take a shuvah for other reasons.
If she's taking from them.
Who else would she be taking from?
I'm saying the Yarshim still wouldn't be able to make her make a shvuah on, let's say, being an apotropia or a chenvani or one of those other things.
Well, but why not? Because the woman is an apotropis on the estate now. The husband's dead, so the Yisomim, it's really Yisomim's property.
On the future, but I'm saying on the past apotropia, that we said that typically they could, unless he made this tonight, even according to this opinion that the two are running against each other, the Yarshim shouldn't be able to make her swear on what she did as not betrothed.
Because at that time, before the death, you're saying, at that time it wasn't the Yisomim.
It wasn't Yifra Minichse Yisomim. Yifra Minichse Yisomim is only, she's trying to be Motzi from them right now with her Ksuba. It's not.
Oh, I see.
But it's only on the future.
That she's giving a shuva, she didn't lie, she didn't cheat.
She did it only for the future, not for
no,
the
but
past.
We're talking about in general the Yisomim can, if there's nothing said between them, the Yisomim can make her swear.
That's
only in the case where he made a tanai with her that she doesn't have to swear. But if he never made a tanai, the father never made a tanai,
it is
the husband, the Yisomim can make her swear about being an
apotropia.
The past, yeah.
So I see. The Yisomim cannot be mashpir her, just promise me you didn't steal any money, any groceries. But if she wants to collect the ksuba, for example, then even though she would seemingly be pater from the shvua, because these languages seem to exonerate her entirely, when it comes to the another klal that you cannot collect from a Yisomim without a shvua, she has to take a shvua for those other considerations. Okay, good point. The Gemara says now, Ikadamri. There is another version of this discussion here. That's what we're up to, Ikadamri? Ikadamri la masnisa abashal ben ema miriam amar bein de lo shua bein de naki shua bein de lo nader bein de naki nader bein nichsai bein nichsai ilin bein hu bein yershav ein mashmino sa ava ma asa sharei amu chacham haba lifar min nichsai yisomen lo yifar el b'shua.
Same thing.
Something the same exact thing, yeah. So it's not the name of, okay, just slightly different. We're skipping one of the people quoting here. The first one was Rav Nachman said in the name of Abba Shaul. Here we're just saying Abba Shaul directly says. So that's the only difference of who's speaking.
The statement is exactly the same statement.
Exactly. And on that, then it says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kabin A'ima Miriam. That's why Paskin. Okay. Says the new Mishnah, Hapogemes ksubasa lo tifare el b'shuva. One who's pogemes, she's pogem in her own ksuba, she can only collect payment with a shuva. And Rashi tells us that Gemara is going to go and explain what this is. Eidechad me'ida she prua lo tifare el b'shuva. Let's say the Eidechad, she comes to collect her ksuba, and Eidechad says, what are you talking about? You already collected your ksuba. So that Eidechad can be forced her to take a shuva. If she wants to collect her, I mean, if she, let's say, never collected any money yet, and she wants to collect her ksuba, typically she's allowed to collect the ksuba without any shvuah. But if an eid echad is going against her, an eid echad, we can never trust them entirely, but an eid echad can be mechayv a shvuah. In this case, she has to take a shvuah since the eid echad says against what she says. If she wants to collect the ksuba from properties that have liens on them, or from the properties of the yusomim, v'shlo b'fanav, and not in front of the husband, I guess, in the case where the husband's overseas, I guess that's what it's talking about.
No, think different.
Yeah, shlo b'fanav means he's overseas. Any of those cases where other people are going to be affected by it, lo tifara el b'shua. That too is the situation where if she wants to collect the ksuba, she needs to make, if she wants to collect the ksuba, she needs a shua first. Yeah. Then, let's say, ha-pogemes ksuba saketa. So what is this pogemes ksuba we've been talking about for the whole Amud? Hayisa ksubasa elef zuz. Her ksuba is worth $1,000, let's say. Vamrla, and he says to her, Hiskabalta ksubaseich. So he says, you already collected your ksuba.
Who said to
her? Her husband. So it must be a case of after divorce, right? Because she can't collect the ksuba during life. I thought before maybe she wanted money while they were still married. I'm assuming after divorce, because she needs a ksuba while she's married. And part of that ksuba is the money that she's owed. Okay, but I'm assuming divorce, but I could be wrong. So so he says, I already paid you off the ksuba, so go away. You have no claim anymore. I only got one mana, but I didn't get the full 1,000. Lo tifra el b'shuva. So in such a case, she needs to take a shuva. Because normally, I think this far is that if you collect the ksuba, you should collect the entire amount in one shot, not in piecemeal. Eid echad me'ida. What's the case of an eid echad? Eid echad me'ida she prua. Eid echad says she keita. What's this case? Haisa ksuba se'elf zuz. She's $1,000 in her ksuba v'amrla hiskabalta ksuba seich. And he says to her, you accepted your ksuba already. Fiomeres lo hiskabalti. I didn't accept it at all. Eid echad me'ida she prua. The eid that comes along and says, no, you did accept it. So here too also, lo tifara el b'shua. She could only collect payment with a shua. Minachasim shubadim keita. What's this case? Machar nechasev lachem, he sells his properties off to others. Vinefres mina lekuchos, and she wants to go collect from the lekuchos because she had a lien. Her ksuba was preexisted the sale of the land. Lo tifara el b'shua. She has to take a shua because lekuchos are going to lose out. So here too is an example of another shua. Minichse yisomim keita. What's that case? Meis v'niach nechasev yisomim. The guy dies, husband dies, and he leaves over the property to the orphans. She wants to collect the ksuba from the yisomim. Here too, also the tifara ella b'shua. She can only collect
the shua. I don't think so. Meidash apogemet tuvata lo ella b'shua minchsei tomim.
Right.
Minchsei yisomim is an important el b'shua kama.
It is kama or it's b'shua
minchsei
tomim, because it says in minchsei tomim she needs shua.
Yeah.
All different examples, and Misha just explaining in detail what the examples are. And the last line of the Amud, v'shlo b'fanav keita, what's that example? Halach lo l'medina sayam. He goes overseas, v'hi nifras shlo b'fanav, and she wants to collect it, and he's not present. Here too also, eino nifras ela b'shua. The mission continues on the top of Pei Zayin and Beis now. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol zman shehi tovas ksuvasa, hayorshin mashbinosa. Whenever she collects, she wants to be tover her ksuba, the yorshin could always be mashbia her. V'im eino tovas ksuvasa, eino yorshin mashbinosa. And if she doesn't claim it, then we don't have to. We can't collect it. And this Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Shimon is referring to, what he means.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. Suck the Gemara.
Suck.
You like that? Sava Rami Barchama Lameimar, Rami Barchama wanted to say, Shvuah Daraisa, It's a shuah deraisa. These different types of shuahs. The shuah deraisas. Some shuah deraisas, such as a shuah modem mixa, this is a shuah deraisa. Shuah sadayarim, shuah edus. So he thought this was a shuah deraisa. Why? The katayin masayin v'kamodi lebimeya. Havile modem mixa sataina. V'chamodem mixa sataina yishava on a deraisa level. So the halach is that she claimed, or he claimed rather, 200. I guess it's comparable to a case where someone claims 200 and he says, no, I only owe you 100. He's modem mixas, and modem mixas, based on the pasuk v'chi huzeh, in the parshas mishpatim, context of the shomrim, a person in shomer chinam, shomer sachar, says ki huzeh, tells us that a ki huzeh is a reference to modem mixas, is chayiv b'shvua mideraisa. So initially they thought it's a shvua deraisa. So, there we go here. Okay. Sama Rava is Shtei Tshuvas Badavar. I have two questions on you. Chada, the Chol HaNishbayin B'Shabbatara Nishbayin V'l Mishalmin. V'Nishbas V'Notles. So all the Torah Shuvas are where a guy takes a Shuvah and he's Pater. The Shomer Chinam is watching over someone's horse and the horse gets stolen. Shomer Chinam is Pater. He says, Shomer Chinam, I was doing you a favor. You asked me to watch it. I shouldn't be responsible to pay for your horse. Unless I'm Poshe, unless I open the fence. It was completely protected, and some ganavim took it. I'm exempt. So they make you take a shvua to exempt yourself. Just make a shvua. If he takes a shvua, I did everything I could. It was stolen, and that's it. He's potter. So shvua, on a derived level, exempts a person from paying anything. But here, this case is
situation?
That. Yeah, exactly. That's the clout. And a shvua derived are always a shvua to potter you. But this case is, she's taking a shvua to take some money, to take from the someone. So this cannot be a case of shvua derived. That's question one, Rava had. Question two is that. Va'od einishban al kfiras shivud karkaos. So there are many halachas, the gemaras and shvuas elsewhere talk about that you need a kfir when you do modem mixas. There's a hodah, you partially admit, and then you're kofir, you're denying part of it. Now the denying cannot be on a piece of property on karka, for whatever reason that is, based on psukim that shivud karkaos don't work. So einishban al kfiras shivud karkaos. So sorry, you don't. Right, einishban al kfir shibud karkaos. So since a kfir is on a shibud karkaos, you cannot take a shua on a deraisa level. So how here can we suggest that there's a shua deraisa going on here?
Because it's not karkaos.
This is karka, and the klal is you don't make shuas on karka. Right, so that's the case. It's similar
money.
To it's money. Wow. No, that's the example of the mixes is money. But we're trying to apply it to our case of the Isha.
The
she's trying to collect shibud karkaos. And look at Rashi. You see Rashi, four lines from the top? The first word is kol shtaros. All shtaros, shibud karkaos. There's a lien on property. V'ein nishban al karkaos kedamrinan b'shvuos in ba'azav. You don't make shvuos in karkaos. And any document has a lien on a property, so you wouldn't take a shvua. So this cannot be a case of a shvua deraisa. So El Amar Rava therefore says it's a shvua midirbanan. Dipara. Daik the mifrei, the par daik, the mifrei lo daik. Rabbanan, Rami Rabban Shua Allah kiecha the teduk. So what's going on? What's the sevar? What's the basis? What was the impetus for such a shua? One who pays is exact. One who pays. Let's see what's going on here. One who's paid is not so careful, and they threw a shua to make sure you're careful. Who are the different parties here?
The husband that knows what he paid. The husband who's the payer. They know exactly what they paid. They paid for the loan.
One who received the money. One who pays knows how much he pays out. He's the one at loss. He knows he paid $200, $1,000. She collected money, so she's not. She got money. She was happy. She got money. She wasn't counting her dollar bills necessarily. So that therefore, the one who's going to collect the money, make sure you're going to be exact and careful when you're going to collect the shvua. Okay, now what's the difference whether or not this is a shvua deraisa or shvua derabanan? So Rashi tells us on the top, Rashi, I didn't read this one, it says Shvu Deraisa. He says, Nafka Mina, the difference between a Deraisa and a Derban Shvu is, Delo Mefachin Allah. We cannot be Mehapechet, put on the other person. So Rashi doesn't explain so much, but I think what he's referring to is sometimes we're able to Mehapech, put the Shvu on the other party at hand. So let's say the situation of a Shi, for a reason we don't trust it to take a Shvu, can we now flip it on to the husband to take the Shvu? Shvua deraisas we can. Shvua deraisas are very set to who's supposed to take the shvua takes the shvua, and if we don't trust him, too bad. You can't take a shvua and you're a loss. But by Shumud Dirbanan, if we don't trust the person who's supposed to take it, we can always flip it to the other way around, that the husband could say, take a shvua that you paid out your full amount already to exempt him. That's the nafkamina of a shvua deraisa versus shvua Dirbanan. So the Gemara now asks, Ibailu pogemes ksubasa be'edim mahu. Let's say she's pogemis, which was the case where she collected only part of her ksuba already, and there are edim now. So what are the edim saying? Rashi says, right around where we are in the Gemara, pogemis ksubasa be'edim kiskabalti mana ubifne edim kibaltiv. I accepted a mana only of the 200, or the 1,000 was the example. I collected 100 of the 1,000, and I did it in front of edim. So what's the halach? What's the shaila here? Mahu, Rashi Gemara says, im isa de paria be'edim hava parla. If it's true that she paid it with Edim, or perhaps it was just by chance. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Mi amrinan, do we say, Isa de paria, tefei, be Edim have a paria, deha dak v'ka isi Edim lepiron manakama? Odima la mishum de daku, ela isramua israme, deha ve Edim mahasam bahus zimna. Meaning, did she really plan this and appoint Edim? And the fact that she did this told us that if she had Edim, there from the, she invited Edom to come, she was must have been more careful, or happened to be the moment that she was collecting the money. There are two people standing by, and they said, do you mind just observing what's going on here? So I'm not really getting what the Shaila is, though. How's that going to affect her payment? I mean, were the Edom not really Edom? We can't bring them as Edom, why not? Let's see.
Maybe they passed for it.
Why would they be passed, though?
Whatever they are.
So the point is, again, the husband's the one who's bringing the Edom here. So the husband brought Edom here. The fact that he was makbid to pay in front of Edom, if he had paid the rest of it, he would have paid it with Edom as well. Or do we say...
They were just available at the time
for right.
The first payment, so he didn't go get them for the second
payment. Uh-huh.
In other words, is it a reyus, and now that he did... that he's claiming to have paid the rest without the Edom once he brought Edom the first time.
Uh-huh. So I guess what's happening is that there were Edom on the Mana Rishon, and she claims that there was a second point in time where she collected the rest of it. Sorry, where the husband claims that there was a second. You're right, the first one was a Mana. You're right. But remember the other time we got together, I paid you the remainder of it? So that never happened. So he had Edom by the first Mana. So we're going to say, wait a second. If you had Edom by the first Mana, so why didn't you have Edom by the second time you paid the rest of the payment? That's a Reyesa. Or maybe the only reason why you had Edom in the first case was because they happened to be around. The second time it was a little bit quieter. It wasn't a busy day in the Shuk that day. So maybe there you'd have Edom because nobody was around. But you were not so makbid to pay off in the Edom, and therefore he has a good claim as to why there were no Edom in the second payment.
And the nafkamina is whether she has to make a shvua.
Exactly. So Gemara says, Toshma. Kol ha-nishban shebetorah nishban v'lo mishalman. Anyone, all the shuas in their raisa level have to make a shua and they are exempt from paying. Ve'ilu nishban v'nolin. And the following take shuas and they could collect on them. Hasachir, a hired worker who was not paid yet. The chamim were misakin that he can take a shua to say, I wasn't paid yet. And I think part of the svar is that the employer, the boss, is so busy, he can't keep track of who he paid, who he didn't pay, and sometimes he forgets. The employee knows that he didn't get paid. So we give him the full right, take a shua, that you didn't get paid, and you collect the money. Hanigzal, a person who was stolen from, also, he takes a shua, and he collects the money. Rashi explains the case here is that nigzal ra'u shenichas bebeso. He saw that somebody went into his house, amar lo tein li kli shenatalta. He says, Reuven, listen, I saw you in my, you know, you had a ski mask, but it's pretty obvious it was you. I saw you in my house, please give me what you stole. Hu omer lo natalta. What are you talking about? I didn't steal anything. Ve'edim ra'u sheyotzev ha'kelim tachas kanfei taliso. The Edim saw him leave his house, and there was kelim hidden underneath his cloak. Lo yaduba ma, and they didn't know what it was. So here too also, since there are Edim in this case, I guess we're all talking about case of Edim here, the Nigzal takes a shrua, what Reuven took, and he could collect that from Reuven.
This is not enough, it's because of the Gzela.
Gzela.
Nigzal.
Nigzal is an open form, but he did it more openly. Ganeva is where it's hidden, nobody saw him. Gzela was more blatant, broad daylight. Hanechbal, says the Gemara, Rashi explains, the nechbal is ra'u shenichnas l'toch beso v'yad ha'shalem v'yad tzachavol. So he went in, the guy went into the guy's house, his hand was, he had a full hand, And he walks out, and his hand was cut off or damaged. Amar lo chavaltabi, you hit me. Amar lo chavaltabi, I didn't do anything. But Adam saw some, circumstantial evidence. They didn't see what actually happened. So since the reglan ledavar is that most probably the guy hit him, so he could take a shvua that you hit me and pay me that money that you owe me. The shekenegdo chashid al shvua. Also, if let's say the guy who's supposed to take the shvua, the shomer chinam, he said it was stolen. He was watching over the horse and the horse got stolen. He's supposed to take a shvua and he's pater. But let's say the shomer chinam is a ganav. He doesn't have nemanus. We don't trust him. So then we allow the other guy to say that it was stolen. That's why it was poshea, I guess, let's say. The owner of the horse says, what do you mean? You were poshea. I'm not sure how we know this. And he would be able to take a shvua in that circumstance. I think that's the case. Let me double check that one. Okay. The case of Shomer is not such a great example, but let's say it's, for whatever reason, the Shomer Chinam is watching. I'm watching your horse. Okay, I'm watching. David has a beautiful horse, a stallion. I'm watching his black stallion here, and it gets out of my backyard. And you want me? You said I was poshe because I didn't lock the fence. I said no, it was stolen from me. Someone came to my backyard. So the Chacham in the basin says I need to take a shvua that it was stolen. And I'm pater, but they don't trust me. I'm a ganav. So they don't trust me at all. So what my shvua won't help them. They won't accept my shvua. So you flip the shvua on Kenegdo to you, and you say, I saw that I was poshe, that I didn't lock the gate. You could take such a shvua that I'm poshe, and then you could collect the money. That's an example where you could be shvua, take a nishban v'nolan and take. Against the classic deraisa levels, sometimes Chachamim allowed you to do shvua v'nolan, nishman v'nolan. Furthermore, another example of this, v'chenvani al pinkaso, a storekeeper al pinkaso, Rashi says, chenvani al pinkaso shekoseba hakfalsav kain tzivani ploni, that he writes the what everybody owes him. And they have like a little an account of everybody. Kain tzivani ploni lasez lepalav v'nasati lehem. So-and-so told me to, from my store, I should give, I'm the banker, I guess, give me his worker, pay him off, and then he's going to pay me back. The employer didn't have the money at the time. So he asked me to do him a favor that I'll take from the account and pay his worker $100 for the day. So that's what I did. And Rashi continues to say, V'heim omrim lo natalti, and the workers are claiming they never received any money. Shneim nishba minolin himanu. So now what's going to happen is both parties, the employer who already paid the money and then the employees who never received the money, both take a shua to collect payment from the chenvani who loses out, has to pay both parties everything. So the Gemara's Bar Metzia talked about these cases. Another example of nishba minolin. Then the Gemara says, hapogem shtaro shlo be'edim. So one is pogem shtar without edim. What's this case? So is this our case of ksuba, I guess? Person who partially collects from a shtar, but does not have edim there, he too also, if he wants to take the rest of the shtar that it was uncollected apparently, he needs to take a shua first, similar to the case of the ksuba. The isha needs to pay, if it's pogemes, she needs to take a shua to collect the rest of it. So the Gemara therefore says, wait a second, shelo be'edim in, be'edim lo? But if there are edim, she wouldn't, or he wouldn't have to take a shua?
It's part of the raya. It's not betumia, is it? I think it's shelo be'edim in, be'edim lo. So you see a raya from here.
That if there are edim,
on a part of it,
and then the second part, there is no edim.
She doesn't
take a shvua.
She doesn't take a shvua. She doesn't get to.
She's parted from the shvua. Let's see. Yeah, exactly. Meaning. If the Edom were makbid, if there were Edom initially when she was paid the first amount, and then there's another moment of time where he said he paid her the rest of it. So they said, bring Edom that you paid the rest of it off to her. And since he can't come up with Edom, shows a reis in what he says, so she seemingly would have, she has rights to collect the rest of the ksuba without having to take a shuvah. So that's the raya that we brought from here. And the raya says, not true, you can't bring me a raya from here. Lo mi bai kamar. So lo mi bai. Lo mi bai be edim devada tzricha shvua. Needless to say, in case of edim, when there's edim, certainly she requires a shvua. We'll explain why that is in a second. We'll look at Rashi hopefully. About shlo be edim, but when there are no edim, ema teve kimeshuva veda v'tishka b'lo shvua. But when there are no edim, maybe you should say it's like returning a lost object, and she should be able to take it back without a shvua at all. Kamashvlan, she has to take a shvua still. So what's going on here? Rashi says, "Devadei tzricha shvua. If there are edim, she certainly requires a shvua al hashar on the rest of it." When she admits to the first mana, She's only forced into admitting because she's forced into it. She knows that there were Edom there, so she has to admit to that mana. But to collect the rest of it, she would have denied everything entirely, she, in theory. So we don't really trust her anymore. We really think she'd be moda, she'd be kofar and everything. So therefore, we may make her take a shua in the first part. But if it's a case where there were no Edom in the first place, yet she's still moda on that first mana, so she's being made shavaveda. She could have said she, nothing was collected and never have to do with the issue at all. So kamash balan, that no, in this situation, even though she's not forced into admitting the mana since there are no edim, still her admission is it's a partial, it's a pogemis in the ksuba, and she does need to take a shvuah on the remainder. Okay, not easy stuff. Ask the Gemara Ibailo. What's the time here? Oh wow, Ibailo. Gemara asks hapogemis ksubasa pachas pachas mishav pruta. Let's say she collects little by little, a penny here, a penny there, each of the times she collects from the ksuba is very, very little. So mahu, what's the halacha? Mi aminan kevin deka daika kuli hai kushta kamru. Since she's so exact, how much to take less than a shvuah, she must be telling the truth. She's she has serious, you know, I don't want to say issues, but she's very, very careful in all her business dealings. So she must be a trustworthy person. Or do we say, oh, Dilma iarmu karmrame? She's playing tricks here. She's trying to do everything less than a pachas misharputa to play games along here. Maybe we shouldn't trust her at all. Gemara has a teku. Then the Gemara says, "Ibaylu pocheses ksubasa mau." Let's say the ksuba goes less, which means what? Rashi explains pocheses ha'isak ksubasa elv zuz. It was 1,000. Kaza b'shar. V'hu omeres kabalta kula. And you accepted everything. All 1,000 was paid off. V'hi omeres lo kabalta kluma. I accepted nothing. Aba mode ani shlohat nisa imi l'ksubasi elamana. But you're incorrect in remembering what was written in the ksuba. My ksuba actually only says 100. I didn't accept any of the ksuba, but you were misremembering what was written in the ksuba. So what about that case? Is that considered being moda, being paid off, pogemis, or no? It's a different case. Mi amrinan hainu pogemis. It's the same, in essence, the same idea. What she's owed is much less. O dilma pogemis modia b'miksas halokama d'miksas. Pogemis is being moda to what's owed. Here she's not admitting to anything that was owed. It was just incorrect what was being claimed from in the first place. So Tashma, the Gemara says, Pocheses tifara shlo b'shuvah. No, a case of Pocheses, Keita, what's the example? Haisak ksubasa elv zuz, it's $1,000, v'amarla, and he says to his kabalta, ksubasa eich. He says to his wife, or perhaps ex-wife, that you accepted the full amount. V'hi omer, lo kabalti, I didn't accept anything. But v'eino el mana, but you're wrong, it's only a mana that was written on the ksuba. Nifresh shlo b'shuvah, you don't need to take a shuvah. B'mai, right, it's okay, fine, you don't have to take a shuvah, that seems to be the raya. Now, b'mai gavya, afilu ha'umana. So, with what is she going to collect? B'hai shtara, hai shtar chas ba'amu. It's worthless, this shtar. Because it's mezuyafu. Why is it mezuyaf? Because it says 1,000, even though it was really 100? Right. Apparently, Ksuba wrote 1,000. It was written 1,000 on it. He was correct as to what was written on it. But somehow, it was an extra zero was added on there. So, it was a mistake. So, now, what's she going to collect her ksuba from? It's a chasba alma. It's a worthless. It's an incorrect ksuba. Rava braid rava beomeres amana hayisali beini levena. There is a certain trust we had within each other. Rashi says beomeres the last few lines of the page beomeres amana hayisa beini levena. Shishtar nichtav nechtam kugan. It was written properly. Ubifnei edim kibal alav zuz avalhu emin bi shlo esbena elamana. So it was written among, everything was written with 1,000, for whatever reason that was, but we had an agreement among each other that it was only going to be a mana. So the shtar is actually a real shtar. But we, on the side, had under the table said, I'm going to only make you pay a mana. So for that reason, the shtar is actually still a valid shtar and can be used as a form of payment.
The husband might write a kasuba for an inflated amount so she wants to impress her own. She's marrying a real leader here, but hey, put a thousand up there.
Okay. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. The Tudats, Shkoyach, have a wonderful day.
I wonder, like, at what point we would say that, and at what point, like, if